Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, stay tuned, because coming up next, after the news weather, it's the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by, and it's all about the three pillars to transform stress into power, freedom, and balance. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. King Charles III is in Scotland, where he's taking part in the procession of Queen Elizabeth's coffin. He addressed Parliament earlier today for the first time as the UK's new monarch.
An example of selfless duty, which, with God's help and your counsels, I am resolved faithfully to follow.
The Queen will lie in state in Scotland today before making her final journey to London. She will then lie in state at Westminster Hall from 5 p.m. local time on Wednesday until Monday morning, the day of her funeral. Former President Trump and the Justice Department are expected to respond before the end of the day to propose special master candidates in the review of documents seized from Mar-a-Lago. The DOJ wants the review done by mid-October, while Trump has proposed 3 months. The ex-president was spotted getting off a plane in Washington, D.C. last night, but it's unclear why he came to the nation's capital. President Biden travels to Boston today to talk about his cancer moonshot initiative. Rory O'Neill reports.
The ambitious plan aims to cut the cancer death rate in half over the next 25 years and provide support to caregivers and survivors. The president will speak at the JFK Presidential Library on the 60th anniversary of Kennedy's famous moonshot speech, which committed the U.S. to putting a man on the moon.
As mortgage rates hit new highs, a growing number of banks have begun offering mortgages that don't require first-time buyers to save up for a large down payment.
Instead of having to spend years saving for the down payment, delaying the financial benefits that are accrued from being a homeowner, they can access homeownership more immediately.
Claire Losey at the Texas A&M Real Estate Center says this will help close the wealth gap. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
At Whole Foods Market, get organic air-chilled chicken breast for $7.99 per pound through September 13th, while supplies last. Plus, Prime members save an extra 10%. Shop now, in-store or online. Terms apply.
Let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and a few light rain showers, but then it'll turn to partly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures around 75, 76 degrees. Tonight, increasing clouds, sprinkled light rain showers yet again. Low temperatures back down to about 57. For Tuesday, more clouds and slight rain showers yet again. Highs around 67, 68. With mostly cloudy skies for Tuesday night. Lows back down to about 56. Partly sunny skies for Wednesday and Thursday. Highs around 70.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. It's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We got a fabulous show for you today. I have to say, Benny, I'm still getting used to the new time spot, but I'm kind of loving it. You know, we're not, do you feel me right there?
Oh, and I've done it for 20 years. And so you'll eventually slide right in, and it'll be just like in the back of your hand. No problems. Easy peasy.
Yeah. Let's ask Jacob. Hey, Jacob, how you feel about the new time slot, right? Kind of get you moving early.
You know, you guys take kind of the hard stuff, so I can kind of sit back and just enjoy the show. So it's a great way to start my day.
Oh, my gosh. Don't you just love that? Well, I'll tell you, both of you fasten your seatbelts, because we have a fabulous guest. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on here for this time spot. And I promise you, we have quite a bit that we're planning for you and with this flagship station. And today's show is the beginning of that. When I think about people that make choices in their lives
these choices from a combination of, and this is my language, mind, body, and soul. And you look at your life and you're well accomplished. You know, you've got all the credentials. You know what you're doing in life. But if you heard my story, that wasn't going to be it. Even though you do all the things society wants you to do, somewhere along the way, you discover something in your heart. And when you discover that something in your heart, it is very, very difficult to carve out a pathway that doesn't come from there. Today, I want you to meet an amazing woman. You know, Dr. Vijaya Nair joining me here today, amazing woman, amazing doctor. And when you think and hear what she has to say, I challenge you not to be energized. I challenge you not to be able to step up and say to yourself, I am going to do what I need to do to understand the absolutely just debilitating aspect of stress and anxiety. And if you're who she is, Harvard and Columbia University, trained physician, transformational health and business coach, medical researcher, best-selling author, international speaker, and hopefully a regular on our network, you will discover that this is not a conversation that she takes lightly, but she does take a light approach to it. She has taught visualization, you know, guided imagery, all of these things you've heard about. But what is it she has learned from this journey beyond the credentials, beyond the degree? That's what you're going to hear today. In addition to understanding that today, the three pillars to transform stress into power, freedom, and balance, the way to do that is within you. It's within you. But what is it she's done to discover that for herself? It's so great, Dr. Vijaya. Dr. Vijaya, thank you for joining me here today. It's so good to have you here.
It's so fun to be on your show, Dr. Fat. It's such an honor. May I call you Fat?
Yes, Betty, ping pong, Patty. You know, today is good. Look, the point is, see, what you and I have learned is something interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
We've kind of learned, yeah, we've got credentials. Yeah, we've done things. But boy, we've learned from experiences. I want to start out with a question I've been asking people for 20 years. First of all, thank you for doing what you do, because the world needs this now more than they ever had. I thought maybe we needed it in 2007 and 8, but I look at this now. We don't even have the medical research yet all available to us to see what the full impact is. But I got to ask you this question. Outside of you and I being closeted ping pong players, I would love to know, here you are today, I barely scratched the surface on what you do. What were some of the challenges? What were some of the obstacles? What did you overcome to get you right here now?
Oh, we didn't even go in there. So all of you listeners out there and those of you who identify with any of the challenges or all of the challenges that I've gone through and Dr. Pat has gone through, welcome to the Club of Transformational Network talk show. That is a unique kind of like, and you may have like been right in the center of it, or, you know, right in the middle of it, or you may have just overcome it, some of your challenges. But I get to tell people that there's 10,000 challenges ahead of us. And it's like what's going out there, it's not as bad as what you have gone through and the lessons you have learned. And so what are the challenges I have? Oh, like that goes with two cancers, about to lose my children, three kids, lose my job, didn't get a visa in time, you know, to stay in the United States. What else can go? Oh, didn't have insurance, no money. You know, anybody who wants to talk about any of these challenges, there is, today's talk will just bring you how to transform your immense stress, because that was what I was going to go was going through. You can have all the credentials in the world. But I realized, and sometimes in the show here, and I'll say, I only had one major problem. It looked like as if I had so many issues, health, relationships, money, job, environment. I was, where was they going to stay, raise the kids? But there was only one problem. And that's what today's talk is about.
Yeah.
So fasten your seatbelts.
Fasten your seatbelts. You know what I love about this? I want to talk about vision for a minute because it sets the stage. I didn't understand the power of setting a vision in play. And I'm very fortunate to have been doing this show through what the world called the New Thought Age. But here's what happened to me, and I think you'll appreciate this. 6 months after saying yes to this, and I bought Air in 2003 on internet. Nobody was on the internet. But 6 months after this, I came down with a mystery disease. Now, I now know what that was. I now know what it was from. It changed the entire trajectory of the show. The show wasn't even called this. It was called Crust Busting Your Way to an Awesome Life. I was having a blast. But I wasn't making that $250,000 a year in the Deloitte job consulting. But I was so happy. And I want to ask you this. You are an author. You're out in the world. You've moved beyond this. Now you have a vision, 100 million healthy, happy, thriving, successful entrepreneurs. I hope I'm one of them.
You already are.
I hope I'm joining.
You've graduated, you know. We all have graduated. I just want to tell people, if you think you're somewhere low or middle or high, there's no such conversation. You already have the full range of consciousness in you. You already have everything within you. Now, express it. Now, bring it out. That vision in you, that real vision in you, not your ego-centered vision, the real vision of your heart, that's what I do. And all the information that you're hearing, it's not transformation. That's the first thing I want you guys to take away from. The takeaway, first takeaway is information is not transformation. If you're going to go through stress, if you have stuff that's going on in your life and you have no clue how to handle it, or you try many things, or you have done many things, and you're already in a state of apathy, you're like, what's the use? What's going to work for me? And once you're in that state, just know that the information that you're getting from, you know, even the talk course shows, even all the people that you listen to, the wonderful people, the books that you read, the webinars that you watch, the podcasts you repeatedly hear, it's not going to matter until the transformation hits you. Work with a coach, a mentor, somebody you trust. That is primary. Because listening is not transformational. It starts the process of like awakening, oh my God, there's something here. But that's like the process of transformation. And you got to like, you know the difference and how can you get there. So yes, we all welcome in the journey. The journey never ends, but more and more fun along the way. And that's the pathway to healing, healing from all your stresses.
Wow. You know, my gosh, I knew I was going to have so much fun with you, and we're just warming up right now. Look, you use a phrase. We're going to talk about the five takeaways for today, what we want people to know. But there's a phrase you use. I love this phrase, and I don't think I've ever heard anybody say it. They just dance around this. But you're, like, coming right at it. Toxic goals. Now, the reason I'm bringing it up, we're going to go over and leave people with these three pillars for transform stress. But more importantly, there are things to listen to. There are things to understand. But I don't think people understand how show-stopping a toxic goal is. From your point of view, you teach it. It's in your webinars. It's a fabulous term. Tell us what that is, because I think if people saw this, they'd be like, oh, my goodness. I see exactly what she's saying.
Yeah, we have to apply things to our life. And I am a number one for toxic goal. I used to teach toxic goal. I didn't even know what that meant. But all the personal development mentors and people I worked with all my life were like, wow, you have to do this. And you like, you know, set this goal. That's what this is. It was all behavior-based. And there's a role for behavior, but the fundamental understanding, the shift that I had when I had my own near-death experience, I was bleeding like crazy, bleeding away, hemorrhaging from uterine fibroids, and they thought was cancerous. So it was like right in that state, you know, you were like looking at yourself and it says, you know, how worse can it get? How bad? Well, it used to get much worse. But I had a near-death experience then. And when I had that near-death experience, I heard, I saw, I recognized a lot of things that it took me years, 20 years to like, wow, find out what it meant. So toxic goals was the first thing I heard. And it was like, the first thing that I heard was, when I was going through the divorce, when I was going through the near bankruptcy, when I was going through, like, I'm going to lose my kid, heck, I was going to lose my life. And what I heard was, your feelings are only coming from your thinking in the moment. Your feelings are coming from your thinking in the moment. That means the world, my ex-husband, he didn't cause my grief. He didn't cause anything. The world didn't do that to me. Oh, the lack of a job didn't do that to me. My bank account didn't do, or lack of funds in my bank account didn't do that to me. It was my thought, my thinking in the moment that was causing my sadness, my anger, my resentment, my disappointment, my stress. So toxic goals is a very important concept because it helps so many, you know, business people, ordinary individuals, because when they understand the concept that the toxic goals is a phenomena, and it's like something we constantly are trained from young. Remember when we go to school and we say, and your mom or dad or even teachers tell you that, oh, if you do well in school, you're going to get a prize and, you know, you're going to get X, Y, Z. Or when you feel sad, you know, your mother or dad or whatever would give you, oh, this is a teddy bear or an ice cream to feel better, because they thought your feelings, correctly or not correctly, but your feelings are coming from the event, the circumstances that happened in life. But underneath, but we are constantly told that the fulfillment, peace of mind or satisfaction comes from money, the material possessions, accomplishments, the job status, or even the weather, right? Yeah, or COVID, whatever, you know. But so a toxic goal is making a goal from an external, from all these things that you have to do in order to feel good. The fulfillment, remember I talked about it? Fulfillment, yeah. Happiness. You know, everything comes from fulfilling that goal. It's to really believe in that. And we all do. We grow up in that culture. But you believe that I'll be happy when I achieve that goal, or I'm not happy because I don't have my goal yet. Or if I had my goal, there are any conversation, if I had my goal, I'll be really happy. Well, the problem is it doesn't work that way. And you don't have to have a near-death experience to believe in that, because it's all over all the spiritual texts talk about it, all the essence of all the faiths talk about it, but we didn't hear it. We don't hear it, and we forget, and it's a great spiritual truth. Like all spiritual truth, it comes and it goes. It comes, it hasn't stuck in yet. Where else you feel that your goals will make you happy, that is the more believable, that has been ingrained in all of us as a habit. It's just not true. So when you figure that out, that it's my feelings, they're not coming from the goals, it's coming from my thinking in the moment. And if your thinking is habitually, you know, pessimistic or optimistic or filled with shame and guilt, your feelings are in perfect alignment. Happy thoughts, guilty feelings, and guilty results. So you guilt-ridden, anxiety-ridden results. You may have your results. You may get your goal. but you're filled with anger and fear and upset because that's what you started with. And so that doesn't go away. And then it's next goal. You jump over the loop. Now, a goal can be even noble. Like for me, when I went to Harvard, it was to gain the knowledge to free my people who were in institutions. There were thousands of people at that time, you know, in institutions, locked up in mental institutions. And I wanted to know, what can be done? Does it mean you have a chronic mental illness? You have to be locked up for life, as, you know, what the Singapore government, you know, said that you have to do, and, you know, you can't release harmful people to the streets. So there's variants of that thinking in the world, all over the world, right now, even here, the fear model, right? It wasn't so. But so even a noble goal, even if, oh, no, I'm doing something, I'm making money for my kids, I'm doing something to save the world, your feelings did not come from that. The feelings only come from your thinking in the moment. And thinking like the weather, they can change. We have 70,000 thoughts every day. And it's like, you know, it can change. Morning, you can have one thought. Afternoon, another thought. Evening, another thought. So your feelings also change. So then what do you do? Go ahead, Dr. Pat.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about because, you see, this is really, this is pivotal, what you're talking about, what you're teaching. Two things I want to comment on. One, I encourage people out there, don't think you can do this alone. I thought I could do half, my first half of my life, I thought I could do alone, and I realized I couldn't. You know, coaches, mentors, whatever you want to call them, they are essential in the world we're living in right now. And I love that you said that because both of us know the power of that and the power of helping others in that way. You know, the other thing that you talked about is these things in life will show up. Negative bank account balances, people that will let you down, relationships that will break up. But I think what you are talking about, what you help people with, what your webinars are about, is to understand that these things do not have to define us. We don't have to become them. We don't have to become our bankruptcy. We don't have to become that. But yet, we don't have the tools, and that's what you're teaching. You know, tell people a little bit, because you're teaching this. You've written a book about it. I would love folks to know two things before we continue. One, how do they find out more about you? How do they work with you? How do they sign up for your webinar? Because this is not like, oh, maybe I have the time. This is essential right now for people to get help, even if they don't think they can. So tell folks, if you don't mind, the various ways they can connect with you.
Oh, there's a ton of ways. And
I know, I saw.
I would love you guys, if you feel so, you know, if you feel the calling, you know, I want to know what she's talking about and I want to know more about it, watch the webinar, The Three Pillars to Power Stress, to Transform Stress into Power, Freedom, and Balance. And that's in www.gobeyondstress.com/webinar. That's simple as that. Sign up. It's an automatic webinar, so it plays at your time, convenient time, and watch the webinar. It's 45 minutes. So choose a time that, you know, you can watch or watch just a little bit of it and then come back and finish the rest. And then if you feel called to and you see and take notes, but the notes that I want you to take are about insights, that you had a fresh new thought, an idea, how what she's talking about, you know, how does it relate to my life? What have I done? And we all have had goals. We've all been told, oh, the external circumstances are all important. No, this lady is saying no. It didn't matter. It really didn't matter the circumstances, but my power of my thinking, not the good thought, not the bad thought, not the right thought, not the wrong thought, not the positive thought, not the negative thought. It's the power, the fact that you can think that nobody ever teaches. I certainly didn't know about it at Harvard or at Columbia. You know, nobody teaches that.
No.
And that's what you need to get at. So watch the webinar if you're interested to find out about your superpowers and how can I awaken my superpowers? How can I heal myself from, you know, I have cancer. And I said, no, there's something here I need to know. So even though it was very tough, but I was like on a mission. And, you know, so I was thinking, if I get this, so can other people. So can everyone else.
I have to tell you, I love that you created a Transforming Your Life series, the books. And I love that you did this. And let me just tell you why. Because for those of you that are listening, also you could get a copy of, you could certainly get a copy of the books that are out there. But you have these book series out there. And I noticed a couple of them, you know, smack in the middle of COVID, and you're writing about this. And you're writing about, I thought, oh, my goodness, she doesn't just talk about stuff, she's doing it. What was it about writing the books that changed you? How were you changed? How were you transformed as a result of saying, I'm going to be part of this book series. I'm going to be a contributor. I'm going to do this. What changed in you?
The fact that we all have stories in us. When I see all my clients, and I've coached and mentored thousands of clients, right? Thousands of people, and they all have a wonderful story. And so I participated in this Transforming Your Life series with Cy Blackburn. He's a wonderful, wonderful mentor as well. And we had all my, you know, colleagues, literally, we all contributed what we got out of it. So you ask a very important question. Why did I have this burning desire to write my story out in public, to get people to see and to evaluate their lives, to know that, you know, you don't have to hide it? I had everything, you know, literally everything. And all my colleagues, they had little most of them had two or three or major challenges. But when you share it with the public, when you have something, it could be even sexual abuse, it could be physical abuse, it could be bankruptcy, it could be anything. Once you start sharing it, even if you have not overcome it, the fact that you can share it out with people, guess what? The magical word I said, insight can come to you. So I knew by sharing it, I was opening it up to the higher powers that, you know, that I will have a brand new, wow, thought about the situations that I never thought about. And that's what you get out of reading the series, The Transforming Your Life. But I've also written another book, Prevent Cancer, Strokes, Heart Attacks.
Exactly.
And that was like, you know, you asked me, what did I get out of that? Oh, my God, the thousands of callers and people who read that book and asking questions. And I wanted to keep it small so that people have the satisfaction of completing it. So I'm going there with my editor and saying, we need to keep it small. And she tells me, Vijay, you got to keep it small. You got to keep it to a limit, the words you're using. Because I wrote a 300-page book. You were going to understand it because it was all scientific jargon. That process of like putting it in words about dietary supplements, about natural therapies, about the importance of what are you eating and how to look at that, all the things, meditation, massages, why the pros and cons of it, right? You have to dilute it so that you can read it at one sitting. So it will transform your life. Once you start going on that path, you will start getting more ideas. How do I raise my consciousness, which I hope will come to eventually at this interview.
Yes, we are going to talk about it. And that's really what this is set up for. Because, you know, part of this is, you know, we are out in the world and we are taking steps every day. But what is underneath that? You know, what is it that moves us forward, that moves us beyond all the challenges, that has you write a phenomenal book that helps other people understand, you know, that's one of the most dreaded words that people never want to hear is cancer. You know this and I know this. You know it from a medical perspective, women, right? That is the one word because they don't have your strength, experience, and hope. And what we're going to look at today in the show is we're going to talk about in the world, in this world where we want to achieve success, how do we raise consciousness? How do we avoid the ego traps? How do we do all this? Because today, that's what part of your message is about. But there's much more that you're doing in the world. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, get ready. Get ready to understand how this is so tied in to this consciousness that we talk about, but you can get there. And you're going to hear how to get there when we come back, everybody. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with Dr. Neer.
Brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrian Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
It's time to tap into your divine self through angelic guidance. Join your host, Cindy Smith, and co-hosts in the Angel Empowerment Show from I Can't to I Can, airing every Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn from four of the best angel empowerment practitioners in the field. Together, they will share experiential teachings and offer live, on-air professional angel card readings and much more. For more information, visit CindySmithAEP.com.
Do you get stuck in that Sunday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling, is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Power up with Dr. Pat at a new time. The Dr. Pat Show is still bringing you talk radio to thrive by now at a new time. Listen and watch live on KKNW and the Transformation Network Mondays and Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific time. Stay tuned for new perspectives, powerful conversations, and epic transformation. For more information on how and where to find Dr. Pat and the rest of the Transformation Network hosts, visit thedrpatshow.com.
You are made for more. I'm Coach Lisa, and I'm here to help you achieve ultimate life satisfaction. Your life matters to the world. Reimagine your future with an individualized life by design approach with my free ebook, The 5 C's of Coaching: Commitment, Clarity, Coachable, Creative, and Change. Find the transformation you're looking for. Go to lisabelz.com. That's LYSABELTZ.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Dr. Vijaya Nair joining me here today. Look, this is a little bit of a lot that Dr. Nair is bringing to the forefront. Why? Because obviously you can see she's passionate, but it goes beyond that. You know, when you are purposeful and you see that there are things you can do to help other people in the world, it's almost as if the Great Wall of China cannot get in your way.
Absolutely.
Right? Before we go here, because I really want folks to hear some of the solutions you provided, and especially around the word consciousness, because this is what we don't do, the word stress and the word consciousness. See, in our world, in mainstream, stress, but we don't have a conversation about consciousness. But before we do that, again, please let folks know how they can connect with you, get copies of your book, take the webinar, work with you, all of the above.
Wonderful, wonderful. Imagine, I said again and again, information is not transformation. And you have to look at the feelings that is generated by watching the webinar at GoBeyondStress /webinar. Very easy to remember. Go Beyond Stress /webinar. And then at the end of the webinar, you will be, if you're interested, the first 5 people who book a conversation to have a transformational conversation, I will personally take the call. Otherwise, I'm going to give it to my assistants, you know, to do your call with you. But you will get some very seriously experienced people to do it if you're not going to get me. But that is one quick way to do that. The other way is to go to my website, either Go Beyond Stress or drvijayanair.com, drvijayanair.com. And in there, you will see contact. And I give lots of emails. Put your emails down and put your contact information down there. Just your name and your email address, best email address. And I send you so many emails. So don't get floored by the emails. It's like looking at life in a different way. And I always offer some help and see, you know, would you like to take up my help? Would you like to listen to this? Or would you like to, you know, see this program, whatever it is that you get interested in? If not, also not, it's also, you know, like, all right, that's not your time yet.
Yeah.
But the question you asked about consciousness and stress, what have the two got in common? It's like, it looks like apples and oranges, right? Jacob, would you put up that diagram? Now, I don't want you guys, any one of you, to get very flawed by this diagram, because there's a lot of research, and this is the what I do with my clients, because the most important thing is you got to understand, and it's called a map of consciousness. And this work was developed by a brilliant psychiatrist by the name of Dr. David Hawkins. You can find his book, this diagram.
Powerful book.
Yeah, Power Versus Force. And that's a wonderful book, you know, but my God, the first 2 chapters are very hard to read.
I can't believe you and I have that in common. I honestly can't believe it, because I was given 2 books at a point in time in my life where I was no way I was going to absorb them. You know what I mean? But people knew. I don't know how they knew. One book was that book, and you're right about it. The other book was a book by Viktor Frankl.
Yes.
And well, here we are, and you're talking about something that, boy, if we could understand this, it's a whole different world, isn't it?
It is. So, Jacob, would you do us the honor of putting up the slide there?
All set.
There we go. Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you.
And so for those of you, you're seeing the slide on Facebook now. He's put it right in on Facebook. You're seeing it. And, you know, let's walk people through what they're looking at the moment, because it's powerful.
It is. It is. And you will see, if you're on Facebook, and if you're not, you will find it there. And I actually, it's fascinating. It's one of the stepping boards. Like, you know, when I mentor someone, a client, you know, when they're going through what they're going through, and this connection of what your consciousness is very important. Because when you look on the left side, the level, you see series of emotions. And what Dr. Hawkins did was he researched 250,000 people and more in a logarithmic scale of kinesiology, that means muscle testing, to see, and this is verified. This is like, you will see this, not in this degree, because I wanted to talk about the different levels, but in some way, shape, or form, the power versus force, the determinants of human behavior, the consciousness, because consciousness gives us vibrations of thought that we see, the shame thought, the guilt thought, the apathy thought, all the emotions that you see on the lower level. And these are lower level. It's almost like, you know, death. It's like, you know, when you have someone filled the whole day with shame, a lot of shame, because father, mother, teacher, trainer, and their father, mother, teacher, trainer didn't know any better. Now, I grew up in a Catholic convent school. You know, that's where my studies were, right? Most of us have that. And my parents also use shame very effectively. Oh, it's shameful, you know, don't do that thing. And, you know the drill. So everything is like shame, and like, you know, you have to get social approval, and you have to be a good girl. You have to, you know, achieve things to make other people happy. A lot of the level of shame that I see in my clients when they come out, and especially when you're depressed and anxious, a lot of their subconscious beliefs. Now, remember, thoughts are just your thinking, conscious thoughts. It's just like 1%, you know, the iceberg phenomena. 99% is subconscious. But so when you know throughout the day you're functioning at shame thoughts or guilt thoughts, apathy thoughts, do you know that some countries in the world, 80% of the population is this apathy? They're just looking out, and you know there can be a grandmother or someone in your family that's just staring out of the window, and just like, you know, they're not looking at anything. They're not eating. They're not taking care of themselves. They don't have the liveness, and they're in apathy. So apathy, it's a real problem because, you know, with the wars and your shell shock and even the COVID, I've seen people, what's the use? Because in apathy, if you go down, it's a level 50. That's the log scale. And then what do you have? The emotion? Despair, hopelessness, the view of life. As you go along that contingent, now there's so much more I could talk about this, because that whole decision process, now remember, your thinking is causing your feeling, is causing the actions you're going to take. So there is no positive action. When you go into grief, that's a little bit higher, and you've got to grieve, and you can actually say you're sorry or say that, you know, your regret. And what happens then is that you're going into your life is tragic. Your world view of life is tragic. So when people ask me, Dr. Vijay, how do people, they understand when they learn about this, and there are ways that, you know, you can come out of this. Because you have all the emotions. The power of thought is within all of us. But if we are so used to being told with shame and guilt, and then we feel the apathy, the grief, and fear, most people function at fear. Fear is anxiety, is frightening. The worldview is a frightening world. I mean, now you know why different people, some people have a loving view of the world, right? A benign view, a meaningful view. But some people, the same people, could have had a hopeless view, the tragic view. So all the emotions correlate. Now, all the lower emotions from 175 down to the lowest, shame, they all correspond to a very negative emotion. So we have a negative worldview. The pride, it's amazing how much, you know, scorn there is, demanding there is. And we all know people who have that, right? But we don't see that we have it. And that's a huge debilitating. It robs you of life. Then when you have courage, and you want to see courage, go to an AA meeting. You know, the Alcoholic Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. I've been to all these meetings, and my God, the courage it takes to talk about your problem.
Oh my God.
For a transformation session, right?
Yeah.
That is hugely inspiring, but inspiring to them too, because remember, they're vulnerable. They're shaking in their boots, you know, but they come out and they talk about, you know, what is affecting them. And there may be repercussions. Even so, they are willing to put their life at stake by having the courage to talk about it. Now, many soldiers, by going into war, right, and fighting the enemy, or, you know, doing what they have to do to protect their country, like you see in Ukraine, you know, they are crossing, people are crossing over to the courage line, you know. So they have already gone in there. They're believing in themselves. And look at it. People in the rest of the world are so inspired. If this happens to my country, I'm going to fight too, right? Mm-hmm. And even with patients with cancer, the survivors, the people who are going through it, you know, when they have that approach. I had a client who had a 10-year-old granddaughter, you know, who had a brain tumor. And she, then a 10-year-old, well, you say, what can she have as a courage? Well, she drew. She made cards for her friends. Hundreds and hundreds of cards, loving cards that she gave out to her friends. And it touched everybody, even those who just knew her friends or the community that was supporting the girl and her family, you know, we all get inspired by that love, the kindness, because that's what a 10-year-old girl does, right?
Yeah.
So they have that, and the inspiration comes to the rest of us. So courage is a very, very important thing to look at. Neutrality is next. Like, you're not attached. I can get my goal, or I may not get my goal. Not attached to an outcome. Now, people think that, oh, if you're not attached to an outcome, how can I get motivated? You will become unstoppable because you know what you want. You focus your attention on your action, and there is no such thing, I have to say this again, there is no such thing as failure, only feedback. So you got a feedback. I tried, and I remember how Thomas Edison did, you know, I think it was about 1,040 times, you know, and he says, well, I know now all those ways that don't work. Then it worked, you know, the filament that made the electric
bulb. Exactly.
So I can go on and on, a couple of hours discussing this, but the most important thing is the transformation. Talk to a mentor. Listen to what it is that, you know, you look at it. And the thing is not talking at you. It's talking with you, talking about you. It's important that you find a mentor that, you know, will talk about you and your where your state in consciousness is. And then remember, all of these consciousness, you don't have to go outside, because once you start awakening, you come up the levels. And that's what happens in sessions. And as they start coming up, they start seeing, you know, the clouds, you know, go away, fade away, and you see the sun behind the clouds. You are the sun. You have that power. You just didn't know you could awaken your superpower. Mm-hmm. So that's what this is about.
I love it, and I love the way you talk about it and teach it. For those of you out there, Dr. Vijaya is joining me here today, and I want to just make sure all of you know this is the way you can find what we're talking about. I love that you put this chart up, because we could spend hours walking through this, but also what you talked about, talking about the fact that the iceberg, the part we cannot see, right? That part we cannot see drives us in so many ways, right? It is that part that sometimes we know it, sometimes we don't. But I want to just, a couple of people are asking me to give them some more information. I want to get that. It's Dr. Vijaya, V-I-J-A-Y-A. You heard me pronounce it, Nair, but it's not that. I'm going to pronounce it correctly. It's Nair, but it's N-A-I-R. You heard me correctly earlier in the show. That's now how you're going to find her. Google it, right? We're very informal here. So I'm Pat.
Yes. She's all with that, everyone.
I'm sorry, we're going to take slower. Yes. You will be able to find her. The websites we gave you are out there. Her books are out there. You know, we're talking about the three pillars to transform stress into power. But most importantly, we're talking about freedom. We're talking about power. I love that in your book title, you're using the word power. It is very hard, and I think you know this, it is extremely hard. It is really hard for women to say, I am powerful. Right? Very hard for women. We're getting there, Dr. Vijaya, right? We're getting there. But we are powerful. We can do this. I want to ask you in the time we have left, and thank you for showing that chart, because what happens to us in life, right? You wake up one morning, your child has a cold, you thought you were going to work, your boss is going to fire you if you don't come in. You accidentally didn't make a deposit in your bank account. You're overdrawn. You get to drive in your car. I mean, this sounds like a country western song now, right? You get to drive in your car. You don't have enough gas in the tank. You go in your wallet. You don't have cash, and you think my life is over. That's how quickly we can go down that slide, can't we?
We can, and we do. Because we are thought first thing in the morning when you wake up, check your iPhone, we do all kinds of things, and then, you know, our thoughts, our power of thought just get us over. But what if we could get up in the morning and have an idea, have the impactful idea, I can now give thanks. gratitude energy for the things I do have in my life. Yeah, my kid has a cold, but I have a kid, and I have the best hospital facilities, you know, in the world. It's just, you know, next door or not too far away. And there may be people who are listening to this call from different countries, but know that there are different things that are working applicable for you. That, yeah, I have a midwife next door and my child is going to give birth. You know, it's so many wonderful things start happening when we focus on the gratitude energy. And it's like, you know, a healing of the stress that we are under. What do I have as opposed to what I don't have? Yeah, I know what I don't have. Write it down, because once you write down something, it's your left brain, you know, writing it down, and your right brain creatively coming up with a solution. So I teach people how to use their right brain and left brain and their subconscious. Clear your subconscious block when you look at a problem, because everyone has been thought only one direction, all bad, it's a negative emotion, it's a negative feeling I have, oh, my feelings, because it's so strong, I have to believe it. Nonsense. Your feelings are only coming from your thought in the moment. Just because a feeling is strong, it doesn't mean it's the truth. So you will get that, you know, understanding of, yeah, what does that mean? It's usually a subconscious block. And clearing the subconscious block, the underground, the submerged, you know, thinking you have, is something speciality that I do. And I teach the clients, how do you do it? And that's, yes, like transformational, because it's like, oh, I don't have a charge now. I can think about my brother. I had someone who come to me, you know, he had not talked to me, he was a physician. 30 years he hadn't talked to his brother. And he says, you know, something must be odd about me. I don't feel anything. It was actually the subconscious was like, he was trying to tell himself, I don't feel anything, so I know I'm indifferent to it. It was not indifference. It was apathy. Yeah. Apathy, like hopelessness. Remember that chant?
Yeah.
Hopelessness. I'm not going to see my brother. 30 years, I haven't spoken to him. And that was the only sibling he had. Guess what? We had to clear that subconscious block. And then he started getting a feeling. Feeling of what? When you clear your blocks, you start feeling, oh, compassion for myself, for the other person. And you know, for 30 years, you felt that. You know, you think you would feel that. But you do. Clear your subconscious block. You can't do it yourself. You've got to get someone who's trained, you know, to know how to clear subconscious blocks.
I agree with you. Look, it does help, but it's also really important. I want to stay with this thought for a minute. You know, one, we have to acknowledge that we are worth whatever it takes to invest in getting someone to help us. That was the hardest thing in my life. You know what? I'll tell you what. I didn't really get it until being in my doctoral program, and I was just accidentally put in front of a mentor. But I really didn't get it until I came down with that mystery disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to ask for help, and I met the most incredible naturopath. I honestly, Dr. Nusheen Darvish, I understood, I learned about her culture. I learned where she came from. I learned how her people were, you know, persecuted for their faith, how young women were not allowed to get education. Mm-hmm. I learned about something we call natural integrated medicine, mind, body, mind, spirit. But I will say this, I did not do it alone. I could not. I wouldn't be here. And I can't say this enough, right? You know it, and I know it. You're not here talking to me because you did this all by yourself, right?
It's absolutely not. It's all the mentors and teachers I've had, right? You've had. And, you know, every chance I have, you know, profound gratitude, you know, to know this. And then what do? Paid for it. Give it away. Speak to people, those who want to come to you to learn, you know, how do I get over this? How do I get over that? It's their thinking. All the negative emotions, the fears and anxieties in the world, it's just turning towards a direction that is the truth, that is you. You, what do you want? You know, and clearing that block, clearing what it is and saying that, oh my God, it's a brand new day. I didn't know the colors could be so bright, right? Everything looks beautiful.
Yeah.
That's what life is, you know, about. But not when you're in the lower levels of consciousness. That consciousness gives right to thoughts, and thoughts have a vibration. They attract more of those thoughts. That's why when people come to me, because I'm also an abundance expert, and yeah, I have lack of abundance. I can't. And I said, well, and after a few questions, you know, oh, the consciousness and which level, and they are attracting the negativity, yeah. Again, a negative fear and worried state, and yeah. You know, not meeting my A game, and you know, I'm upset about it. So guess what? They're more upset. You're calling out in a loudspeaker to the universe, send me more upset. What you don't want, shut up. But that is
like
only talking about the bad. Is to have you, you know, get muscles, develop muscles to transcend that. As you saw in consciousness, we have everything, including enlightenment within us. The possibility is there, peace and unconditional love. What can we say? We are powerful beyond our imagination.
But it really goes back to what you said, and this is why I love this, and this is why this is an ongoing conversation. And Jacob, put up the chart one more time, if you would, because it's one thing to see the chart that you brought forward, and I remember this from the book, and this is a book I go to all the time. But it's another thing to know how to move throughout this, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're just talking about, we're talking about the chart, but you have to learn how to move from that lower shame, humiliation, how to move, even if you move up a little bit, right? And isn't that what you're talking about? That's what you do in your webinars. That's what you're doing in your books. That's what you do when you speak, you teach, you coach. That's what you're doing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because what do I want? What do you want from your whole heart? You know, what it wants after you clear all the negativities and you realize, oh, my God, it's my thinking. And we have steps to do that. We have to go some ways. So when you start doing that very, very quickly, it doesn't take forever. But once you start going into the realms of power, not the force, not the low-level life, you know, emotions and feelings and consciousness, but now you can start taking action from a place of your unstoppable. You're unstoppable. You really got it. And you can feel the vibration. You feel chills down your back when you listen to somebody who talk about, like, wow, their passion in life and what they want. It can be anything. It can be anything. It doesn't have to climb Mount Everest, you know. It's like, wow, this is what I want. And you can make it happen. I can't tell you the number of clients. I know we don't have much time here now. But come for a conversation. I invite all of you. If you have a conversation and you think it cannot be done, I bet you anything, 99.9999%, the conscious thought is not aligned with your subconscious. Your subconscious is going somewhere else, thinking, I can't do it, I'm not deserving enough, I'm not clever enough, and your conscious mind wants all the things in the world. So clearing your subconscious is a very, very important modality in there.
Yeah. Now, how do people get a hold of you? How do they schedule time? How do they do any of that? Let's make sure we're giving that out in the minute or so we have left here.
Go to the www.gobeyondstress.com /webinar and watch the webinar. If you're so interested in the podcast that we just did now, this is a fabulous, you know, Dr. Pat was wonderful. And if you're interested in that, go straight there. If you want to book a session with me, go to drvikayanair.com and sign up for a newsletter, get so many of the newsletters. They will give you links.
Yep.
On my website is a link how you can contact me. And the books are there in Amazon.
And I want to just say it's Dr. drvijayanair.com. Any way you put that in Google, you put her name in there, you're going to get her. You're going to get gobeyondstress.com, the webinar. Sign up for that. I can't thank you enough for today. I know there's so much more we could be talking about, but this is a way to help people understand there is a pathway. There is a pathway to get you from whatever you're feeling, whatever your experience is, to that point in time where you're feeling powerful, feeling successful, and stress-free.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KMUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday morning to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. We'll still a collision on I-5 southbound at Milepost 95 near Maytown Road. Earlier this morning, the left lane is still blocked in that area because of the collision. Please be on the lookout for that. That's on I-5 southbound near Maytown Road, a collision in that area around Milepost 95. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's an encore presentation of Stacy Connects with your host, Stacy Heller, and a soft place for hard conversations. Stay tuned. NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. Queen Elizabeth is now lying at rest in Scotland. King Charles III led a procession from the Palace of Holyrood House to St. Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh. The new monarch was joined by his siblings, while the Queen consort followed behind in a car. Thousands of people lined the procession's route, known as the Royal Mile, with more being turned away. The procession followed a 21-gun salute at the Ceremony of the Keys that welcomed King Charles to Edinburgh. The public will be able to pay their respects to the late Queen for 24 hours before her coffin is flown to London. This comes after the new monarch made his first address to Parliament in London earlier today.
As I stand before you today, I cannot help but feel the weight of history.
He says he's resolved faithfully to follow the example set by his late mother. President Biden will be in Boston today to speak about his Cancer Moonshot initiative. The program aims to cut the cancer death rate in half over the next 25 years and people's support to caregivers and survivors. The president will speak at the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library on the 60th anniversary of Kennedy's famous moonshot speech, which informed the public of a plan to get humans to the moon. Biden is also expected to deliver remarks at an event touting the bipartisan infrastructure law. A new poll shows Republican challenger Lee Zeldin is gaining steam in New York's governor's race. Paul DeCastro reports.
The survey of nearly 1,200 likely voters was conducted by polling firm Coefficient and has Zeldin within 6 points of Democratic incumbent Kathy Hochul, who has 49% backing in the poll. Congressman Zeldin and Governor Hochul are splitting the Hispanic vote, which usually has a reliable Democratic constituency in the Empire State.
Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
For the latest thinking on beauty, fitness, and longevity, listen to Here's to Your Health with Joshua Lane, now playing on KKNW, 1150 AM Seattle. Wellness information you can use. Here's to Your Health with Joshua Lane, beauty, fitness, and longevity. Listening while you drive, at home, at work. Here's to Your Health with Joshua Lane, now on KKNW, 1150 AM Seattle.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and a few light rain showers, but then it'll turn to partly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures around 75, 76 degrees. Tonight, increasing clouds, sprinkled light rain showers yet again. Low temperatures back down to about 57. For Tuesday, more clouds and slight rain showers yet again. Highs around 67, 68. With mostly cloudy skies for Tuesday night, lows back down to about 56. Partly sunny skies for Wednesday and Thursday. Highs around 70.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers.
Connection through conversation. Join self-described conversationalist Stacy Heller as she talks with guests about topics and ideas that are sometimes informational, sometimes inspirational, and always entertaining on Stacy Connects.
Hey everybody, it is Stacy Heller. Welcome back. I took last week off because I was floating with the fam. So I did a replay of my episode that I had with Jessica Ross, who is a psychiatric nurse practitioner. She was talking about ADHD, and The timing seemed perfect because I literally sent out the episode to a couple people that asked about it recently, and I figured back to school, parents, whether it's for your kids or for yourself, like, hey, check out the episode. Anyway, welcome to a live show. Remember, this is a show that is all about making connections through conversation. I have found that by asking questions instead of making assumptions, I learn something. And I figure if I am able to learn something, then maybe, dear listener, you can learn something too. So thank you, of course, to everyone that listens to the show. I so appreciate it. If you like it, then not only should you put a ring on it, but in this case, you should actually just share it. That's right. Share it with folks. You can find this show as well as Don't Ask Me to Talk, the show that Eric and I do on Thursdays on Kixi. You can find those wherever you listen to podcasts. And exciting news, we last week, because our topic was our top five albums, we actually created a playlist on Spotify, which was really fun. And you will be able to immediately tell which music is inspired by me and which music is inspired by Eric, because Eric knows music and I'm cute.
We just have slightly different tastes.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
And so if you want to see what the playlist is, it's called DAMPT, D-A-M-T-T, the acronym for Don't Ask Me to Talk. And I put in some of the songs from the albums and the musicians that Eric called out specifically, but he will add some more to it, and we'll continue
Absolutely.
To add references
yeah.
when we talk about music.
Great idea.
Right? Yeah. So I had such a ball looking up the music that you had referenced and learning more about you through your musical choices. So that was really fun.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. And remember, you can also check out information about my guests and about me and the other show that we do on my Instagram account, which is called Stacy Podcast. So remember, you can call live into the show. The number is 425-373-5527. Of course, you can also text or leave a voicemail at 475-999-2726. I have down here 24. I'll double check that. Anyway, my guest today is Shara Grasser. So we had a conversation. Welcome, Shara.
Thank you for being here.
Well, and we had a conversation right before we went on the air. I was like, okay, so is it like Shara, like scissors, like shears, or is it Shara, like Shara blanket? And I love the story that you shared with me. It is Shara, like Cher. And tell listeners why.
I know. I'm like, Shara, like Sunny and Cher, for real. So the story goes, if my mom is listening, she may correct me. However, my dad was a huge Sunny and Cher fan. And being born in the early 70s, he wanted to name me Cher. And my mom was absolutely not okay with that. So they changed the C to an S and added an R-A. So I'm S-H-E-R-R-A, Shara.
I love that so much. And I mean, what a workaround. Way to go.
I know, way to go, Mom.
Yeah, that was clever. And, you know, your mom would not be the first person to, like, listen to the show and feel like they need to correct something. My mom does it, too. Speaking of which, hi, Mom. I owe you a phone call because she left me a voicemail last week telling me that she went to her jeweler and brought the pearls that she got from these oysters that we opened from Amazon because, you know, that's where pearls come from. And anyway, I haven't called her back. So I owe you a phone call. I know that. I'm sorry. I've just been in recovery mode. So I look forward to hearing this story about the pearls. And, of course, hi to Diane and hi to Lee. So here are some of my conversations and observations from the past week. So I have maybe shared with you that I am a co-host, a supporting role in another podcast called At the Root with Greg Kuiper. And for the past couple of weeks, he has been talking about the way that we listen to people in relationships. And he's been talking about our bias when we listen to people and, you know, how it impacts how we listen. And then he's been talking about this idea of being a fixer. And the past couple of weeks, I have totally been like, okay, did my family, is this a long con? Did they stage some kind of an intervention so that we can talk about the fact that I always make it about me, that I'm always impatient listening to what you have to say so that I can hurry up and fix whatever it is that you're sharing with me, even if you're not looking for input and for ideas on how to solve for it? Is my constant insecurity and need to be heard showing like some slip under my skirt? Like, what is the deal? And so the good thing about this particular show, and I highly recommend it, again, it's called At the Root. It's a podcast that you can check out. And learning the last week and then yesterday's show, I'm shooketh. And it created some dialogue with my family where I said, he was describing that the fixer tends to hijack a conversation and make it about them. They think that they are, or we think, we are being relatable and like, oh, me too. This happened to me. Let me tell you my story. However, we inadvertently hijack. And so on the show, of course, I'm trying to speak for the people. I'm doing air quotes here. But really, I'm 100% speaking for myself. And I'm like, how do we fix this? What do we do? And so one of the things that I came up with is this idea of creating like a safe word out of humor and curiosity. Like, oh, there it is. I'm doing this again. And so naturally, the idea of hijacking a conversation then meant that I'm a terrorist. So I said to the kids, I was like, okay, so here's how I'm going to learn. I am going to learn, and if I am hijacking a conversation or, you know, I'm making it about me or I'm, you know, doing these things that you do when you have this fixer mentality, then just say the word terrorist, and I will know that I have somehow hijacked this. And so of course, we were joking that in certain venues, perhaps, this is not the appropriate thing to say. You know, like if you're on a plane or at the airport or any place like that. But it's one of those family jokes. And I think the bigger lesson here is, you know, Greg talks a lot about how these things that we do, that we have, that we are, they can be changed. We can reroute our neural pathways and go in different directions. We just need to be willing to approach it without judgment, with a healthy dose of humor and, you know, this awareness and curiosity. So my family, that's how we approach these things. The humor is definitely very heavy-handed and very often inappropriate. So, yeah.
I love it.
Well, you know, it's just, it is what it is. So speaking of traveling internationally, since Canada has opened its borders and we have our house that is, again, 2 miles as the crow flies to the Canada border, we now, when we go up there, we will travel internationally, going over the border. And I'll tell you what, anytime you go through a border crossing, when the border patrol is like, so do you have any guns? It's that weird thing where you're like, I don't think so. And I'm like, I don't. We don't right. have any, even at home in a locked, like, case. We're not gun people. Yeah. And yet somehow, like, these innocent questions, when you're asked, you're suddenly, like, you feel the need to confess, like, everything. It's very bizarre. So this last time when we went to Canada, we stopped at a grocery store, and we got some snacks. People kept talking about some of the potato chip flavors that they have in Canada, like the dill pickle, Lay's potato chips, ketchup chips. Apparently ketchup chips are a thing in Canada. Who knew? some interesting cookies. So we got a bunch of snacks. And then, of course, you know, you're like, do I have to declare this? I don't know. Like, I'm bringing leftovers from the restaurant. Do I have to declare that? Right. So, again, Border Patrol is like, so, are you bringing anything back? And I'm like, I have ketchup chips. I'm so sorry. And he's like, what are you doing, lady? So I would not be a good mule for anything. Yeah. So, and as for the chips, the dill pickle chips are quite good. They remind me of salt and vinegar potato chips a bit. The ketchup chips are hideous looking, but it's basically like you have dipped your chip into some ketchup.
That sounds good. I mean, that's like fries, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. And but they're hideous looking. They look like bruised potato chips.
Well, for dill chips, Tim's Cascade, at least they used to, made the best dill chips, dill pickle chips.
Interesting.
So good, yeah.
Yeah.
And their sea salt and vinegar, I think, is the best, too. Send us some chips.
Yeah, right? Hey, Tim, not sponsored, but 100% would sponsor you if you send me some chips. I'm not going to lie.
I had that thing with the, where I was accidentally smuggling something back from Canada one time where I bought some satsumas. And I didn't even think, well, that would be a problem. And I, you know, they're like, oh, are you bringing back any, like, food or whatever? And I said, oh, I got some satsuma. I said, that's fine, right? And they're like, open your trunk.
Right?
Oh, no.
Like, the thing that you don't...
Only time I've run afoul of the law is trying to accidentally bring satsumas from Canada.
Well, and I may or may not have, I will neither confirm nor deny, I will just strongly suggest that I may have gone to England a few years ago during the summer and visited my cousin who lives on an estate there, and he is a cheesemaker. The cheese is called Stitchleton, and it's delicious. It's like a blue cheese. Anyway, we totally went and saw the facility where he makes the cheese. We saw the cows, mm-hmm. give the milk to, like, make the cheese. And then, of course, you come back through, again, Border Patrol coming back into the United States, and they're like, you know, did you interact with any livestock? And meanwhile, these baby cows may or may not have totally, like, licked my hand and, like, you know, whatever. And I'm like, livestock? That's weird. Who goes to England and interacts with livestock? So random.
Well, that was because of the mad cow scare.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So... anyway, again, I'll neither confirm nor deny.
You didn't come clean?
No, I didn't. I was like, I'm not going to jail over, like, petting a baby cow.
They wouldn't have gone to jail. They would have swabbed you or whatever, and it would have been fine.
I don't know that.
Somebody throw you in jail for petting a cow.
Well, I'm just saying it may or may not have happened. Okay, now. My last thing that I will tell you about last week is while we're floating on the lake, we noticed a fish. So that's not surprising. There's fish in the lake. Big deal. Except that the fish was dead. We were like swimming with the fishes. And then we started to notice more and more. And so, of course, we did research. And it turns out that Lake Soyuz, which is where we are, they are part of the migratory pattern of salmon,
mm-hmm.
who knew there's salmon in then their lake, and they were dead salmon that were out on the lake like 40 or 50 a day. And so we were truly swimming with the fishes. And I will tell you, it's a little unnerving to, you know, like you're trying to float and mind your own business and you have to look over your shoulder for a salmon.
Dead fish floating next to you.
Exactly. And you can't eat them because they've released toxins and they're no longer good and whatever. But that was quite a sight to see.
Mm-hmm.
So the lesson there for me was, hey, there's salmon in the lake. Who knew? Okay, my Stacyism. So really it just goes back to the story that I told earlier about the phrase that my family and I came up with. Just this idea of approaching change, if you notice something about yourself, approaching that change with your loved ones and trusted family members, coworkers, whomever it is, something that is, again, no judgment, curiosity, some humor, you know, so my family calling me a terrorist, I know what that means. I don't have to get into it with them, and I can self-correct and change my direction. And so, you know, have some, when you have self-awareness, have some humor as well. So there you go. That's my Stacyism for today. With that, Eric, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll chat with Shara Grasser. We'll be right back.
Looking to reconnect with your partner, spouse, kids, or self? When the disconnect seemingly has been there for a lifetime and is impacting your relationships, it's difficult to determine how and where to start. But At the Root with Greg Kuiper of Kuiper Counseling is the perfect first step. Throughout each episode, Greg talks about establishing emotional connection with ourselves and others. He offers experience, advice, explanation, and resources to listeners. You can find past episodes on his website, KuiperCounseling.com, or through his YouTube channel, Connection Through Awareness with Greg Kuiper.
Stacy Connects, it's not just my business, it's my superpower. Whether you need the right tone and messaging for a new venture, or you've plateaued with your current one, I can help. I connect clients with themselves and their potential. Then, I identify unique solutions that translate your brand into messaging that connects your target audience with your business. Go to StacyConnects.com to connect with me and your messaging.
Talk radio with a purpose. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Stacy Connects. So if you were listening from the top of the show, then you know that I candidly shared that I have a tendency to be somebody who hijacks things. So I am going to work really hard today on not hijacking the conversation that I have with Shara Grasser. Now, Shara, I got to know through, I think it was through Dan Perdue, and he was like, you need to meet this woman, the work that she does. And Shara, you and I had an email exchange that it was like, love it first, send.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so just so listeners know, the work that Shara does, she is a youth empowerment coach. She's also a speaker, and then she's also somebody who is a facilitator that is coaching other coaches, and she also goes into companies. And as she says, she's not just trying to empower the little people. She's trying to empower the big people with the skills that will, in turn, empower the little people. It's an important thing. I mean, I literally have at the top of my show notes, she believes the children are the future.
Doesn't that just make you want to break out?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's not a Cher song, but maybe there's a cover of Cher doing it, but, you know. So explain what that means in terms of being a youth empowerment coach and how you got there.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's always so interesting answering that question. So basically, honestly, as a youth empowerment coach, I'm really holding space for hard conversations with our kiddos. I work with ages 11 through young adult when I'm working in my one-on-one practice or small groups with youth or in the schools even. And it's really about creating that safe space, Stacy, to just have the real conversations, you know, and not judge them and not throw my own opinions or beliefs in there, but to make it safe so that we can help guide and nurture them through the pressures that they have. You know, and it's powerful. I love it. I absolutely love it. It fires me up. I truly, truly believe it's our kids want and need to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean,
and it gives them the space.
So much. I mean, I'm maybe hijacking. However, I will say a lot that I never met an elephant in a room that I didn't want to befriend or talk to. And my friend, who also happens to be a psychiatrist, suggested that that's because I felt like an elephant myself, that I felt like I was unseen and unheard. And, you know, not through any fault of anybody except that I apparently had a lot to say, as evidenced by these shows that I do. And not everybody has the patience to listen. And so that need to be seen and heard, and the fact that you're creating a safe space, it's so important, because so many adults or so many kids don't have adults and mentors in their life that are creating that space.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, I always, one of the first questions I always ask my kiddos when I'm in a conversation with them and just starting the work with them is, who are your top three safe adults? Because we can't assume that's a parent or a grandparent or a family member. And it really puts them into a process. Who are those people? And what is safe mean?
Yeah, right.
It's a whole other conversation, because what's safe to you and I may not be the same definition to a 12-year-old.
So true.
And so it is really true. And so it opens up then this whole conversation, this whole dynamic about what does that look like. And then it's a lot of times easier to move into identifying who those safe people are.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, the work that you do, it's not even just for, you know, the underserved kids or for young women. I mean, I think about, no matter what demographic young people are from in terms of, you know, socioeconomic, educational opportunities, all of these things, you know, every kid, as you're talking about the whole safe thing, you know, for some, it may mean literally where they feel physically safe and away from their dysfunctional family or away from their environment that is, you know, violence in some way, or their surroundings. Or safe may be the I need to feel heard and, you know, I can talk to you about some of the stuff that I'm going through. Or safe could mean, you know, I don't have to perform. I don't have to be that perfect person. I can, you know, be whatever. And so you're right. It's really, that definition becomes so fluid for these preteens into teens.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you put me into a little bit of a process myself, sharing your experience about the fixer and then what the fixer typically can look like as a hijacker. And I resonate with that greatly, greatly. And, you know, being the kid who was always told to be quiet, had every report card I believe says talks too much, excessively talkative. I had my ears tested 3 times because they thought maybe I was hard of hearing because I was loud. I'm telling you, my hearing is perfect. So then they would just move me and put me by the teacher, and by God, I would just talk to the teacher.
Right. And be friends with them, by the way.
Oh, yes. And then the teachers, you know, we got the parent conference, and they're like, I don't know what to do with this kid. She talks to me now. I can't even move her from her peers. It's so they're, you know, you put me into a whole process around that, because my story is very similar to yours. And though we're not hijackers per se, we know that there's also power in storytelling.
Right.
There's an appropriate place for it, so yes. And how many others are out there, Stacey, that are just like us, and how many kiddos in our world are the kiddos we were?
100%. And that's the thing that you and I so immediately were drawn to each other about is, you know, cheesy as it is, I mean, kids are the future. And for kids not to have the opportunity to go through all the fits and starts of learning how to be who they are. And I was having a conversation with one of my kids this week, and, you know, I said, do you believe us yet that really we just want you to be happy and we don't care what it looks like? And she shared that, you know, she said, I really started to believe it when we went through the college process and you and Dad really didn't make any suggestions about where I was to go to school or which school I was going to choose. You know, you were like, all right, you want to go see that one? You want to go see that one? You know, she said, I started to see it more. And the older you get, you know, you see it. And parents forget to ask their kids what makes them happy.
Oh, my God. And I'm a parent, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a 26 and 23-year-old, and you're never done parenting. It just looks different, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, so we're out of school. I mean, the K through 12. I have one that's in college still. But it does look so different. But what I love about that, Stacey, it just, I had a conversation with a mom today, and it was around concerns around dating. And mind you, I'm not a parent coach.
Right.
I coach youth. And so, you know, and I coach this mama's kiddo. And so she wanted to share with me some things that were up for their family right now, and it's around dating. And she said, do I just tell her we don't allow dating till she's a certain age? Because she just is all about being in a relationship. And I have to take a big breath because as a parent, you want to be like, yes, you can't date till you're 16. And then want to believe it's never going to happen. Well, I'm here to tell you,
well,
it's going to happen. You're just not going to be told about it.
Right. I mean, like, kids never met a line in the sand they didn't want to cross.
Right. I mean, I'm kind of that adult sometimes still.
Right.
Let's be real, right? So I said to her, I shared some insight, and then I said, what about this? What about bringing your kiddo into the conversation and sharing, I'm really not comfortable with you dating, and I know you want to. So let's talk about what that looks like. Because dating for a 13-year-old can look very dating different than dating for a 51-year-old. Not that mom's 51, but I am.
Right.
Like what I vision dating looking like, it's going to be very different. And I said, how about you just start with that conversation? Find out where she is mentally, emotionally, physically around that word. What does it look like?
Uh-huh.
Then you have a conversation. Then you know where there needs to be boundaries set and or a plan.
Right.
It's bring the kiddo, empower them, bring them, don't into the conversation. They want to talk about it. I don't care what it is. They can shake their head. They get, oh, mom, oh, dad, oh, grandma, all day long. Gross. I don't want to talk about it. Ew. I'm telling you what, if you're not talking about it with them, Google's talking about it with them.
Oh, absolutely.
Or your friends.
And by the way, like, methinks they doth protest too much. Like, you know, kids absolutely want to talk about it. And, you know, this makes me think about, you know, I remember when I was in high school and I was dating this guy and, you know, my parents talked about, you know, why he wouldn't be a suitable husband. And I'm like, married? Like, I'm just dating the guy. And what parents do is we project into the future about, you know, is this person the right person? And dare I ask the question, like, isn't it okay for a kid to, like, figure out who's Mr. or Miss right now? And I used to use the analogy of crossing, like, a stream with the kids. And I'm like, here's the deal. You're crossing the stream. You're getting to the other side to figure out who maybe your significant other is. And there's all these little rocks, and some of them are, you know, big, and you can hang out for a while, and it's steady, and it's good. And you're like, you know, I don't really feel like I need to go any further. And but it turns out you probably do. Some of them are, you know, a little slimy and covered in moss, and they're slippery, and you're going to trip on them. And, you know, some are more supportive than you think. And, you know, there's all these different stepping stones that help you get across this whole thing. And each one, though, is a stepping stone towards this end goal. And so to not have a conversation, I love what you're saying about, you know, you're making some assumptions there, Mom, that, you know, this child is potentially thinking about all of these aspects of a more adult relationship in terms of physical intimacy, emotional intimacy. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it may just mean I want to go on a group date with 1,000 of my closest friends to the mall where we basically ignore each other and, like, you know, walk side by side-ish.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we don't know. It is all made on assumptions. And when we're living in assumption, we start to make up a story. And then we play that story, you know, as parents and caregivers and even educators and even coaches. I can do this if we're not staying really present. We play in the story and we have this, and then we live in fear because the story is usually not, you know, not very supportive. So we have to stop that story by stepping into a conversation and asking the hard questions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they are hard questions because it makes you as a parent or a caregiver even a little uncomfortable.
Sure. Well, and this also brings to mind, I adore my husband. He's great. My mom would tell you that he's a saint. I would disagree. But, you know, what's interesting is that I am the go-to parent for, you know, a lot of the heavy lifting conversations. And, you know, and that's fine. I, you know, love to talk, love the sound of my own voice, you know, happy to share advice. I'm an open door. And yet there's a part of me that is like, if kids had, it doesn't have to be necessarily a male role model. However, person that is, you know, I wish that my husband had had conversations with our daughters about what they should look for in a significant other, what their value is, what they are worthy of and who they are, or conversations with our sons about how to treat a woman or whatever it is. And parents shy away from these touchy-feely conversations, and it's a missed opportunity.
Yes, it is. It is. And it goes back to if we're not having those conversations, they're learning about these things from their friends or online.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think your kid has social media, but you know their friends do, they have social media also.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, you know, I learned, luckily, early with our oldest, you know, she came home one day distraught on the bus that she was being teased, that she was not as savvy on the topic of sex. And so she was like, you know, they're teasing me because I don't know what this thing is. And the thing that she referenced was off by a couple numbers, and I wanted to chuckle and be like, okay, interesting where they're getting their information, like that's not a thing.
Right.
And instead I held it together and I said, I don't think that's a thing, but maybe it is. Let me look it up and I'm going to see if this is something that I'm unaware of. And so took it very seriously and answered the question and then said, nope, it's not a thing. Your friends actually don't have the information, and let me tell you what this is and what it means. And really only needed to tell her some of the information, then it was like, okay, I get it. And, you know, you don't have to push it all. She wasn't ready to hear all of it. She just needed to know the truth. And kids, they sense when you're telling them the truth.
They sense when you're not telling them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So there's two really big things, Stacey, that I just heard in that I think are worth sharing. One is we don't have to know everything. as the big people in our little people's world, it's okay to say, I don't know, let's figure it out together.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there is vulnerability in that. And our kids, we are modeling for our kids that it's okay to not have all the answers and to ask for help in getting them. So I love that. Like, let's go look at that. This together. Let's figure it out. I'm going to help you with this. The other thing is that's really important is we to talk to the age or the mental level, our emotional level our kids are at.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to give them every flippin' detail. They don't need to know. It's overwhelming, and when there's a lack of understanding, I don't always feel like then we've answered their questions.
No.
They're still going to seek it in a way that they understand it, or they're going to believe what's not truth. So two really big, key, great reminders for all of us big people in the little people world.
Well, and, you know, the second one reminds me of when the movie Grease came out. I think it came out in 77 or 78, so I was 7 or 8. And I saw the movie, and I think, you know, my parents were horrified that, you know, I'm running around singing these songs, and I had no idea what I'm singing about. And the thing is, I had no idea what I was singing about. And if they had made a big deal out of it, then it would have ruined it for me. And, you know, I would later watch the movie as a preteen, and I'm like, wait, Rizzo thought she was pregnant? Like, I had no idea what was going on in the movie because that was not where I was on an emotional level. I just knew that they were catchy tunes and there was the, you know, the cute girl and the cute boy. And, you know, like, I was watching it at a very basic level. And, you know, so sometimes, you know, you don't mean to, but you end up leading the horse to water. And you're forcing them to drink, and they're like, I'm not really thirsty. I don't understand that.
Right. Yeah. And it's I will tell you, and I was not a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect coach. So disclaimer right there. However, I do feel that is still the same with music for our youth today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we really dig into lyrics, there are some really not great lyrics. However, if you ask the kids about it instead of assume that they're really in it for the lyrics, a lot of times they don't even know what they're saying. They know a few words. It's more about the rhythm and the beat and maybe the artist even. But you're right. They're not really into what it means.
Right. And, you know, we were actually talking about this last week while we were hanging out as a family and the songs that the kids would listen to. And, you know, they're like learned later on, like, woo. But, you know, like they, you know, the kids would, I never did the sanitized version. You know, I didn't do like Kids Bop and all of that kind of thing. The kids just self-edited. You know, they wouldn't say the words. And it's funny because to this day, they'll listen to a song and, you know, they will completely bleep out the words. And it's as if it's part of the words for them because it's how they grew up. And they just sort of knew. You know, I was like, it's how an artist expresses themselves. You know, Picasso used blue and apparently Eminem is going to use profanity. And, you know, and so having the truth that's told, and that doesn't mean, and I think this goes back to your conversation with the mom earlier today, it doesn't mean that you don't get to have your family's moral compass and the things that you believe in as a family.
It's absolutely.
Like, you can 100% have those things and, you know, have what your family's beliefs are and standards and the conversations. However, you know, the more you say just unequivocally no to something without any kind of dialogue, the more your kids are going to be like, well, now I'm going to do it. Now I want it. Right? I mean,
it's exactly true. I think one of the best tools, and this isn't just for parents, this is for any of us that have any interaction with kids, teens, tweens, young adults, get curious. Get curious.
Uh-huh.
We don't have all the answers.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I love my job. I don't have to have the answers. I don't believe that anyone I work with needs fixed. They have everything they need within them. They just don't know how to get to it without somebody nurturing and guiding them and being curious and asking them all the things.
Love that. Let's take a break right here,
yeah.
Because when we come back, then I can ask you what all of this looks like before we run out of time completely agreeing on this topic. So keep listening to Stacey Connects. Again, my guest today is Shara Grasser. We'll be right back.
Stacey Heller is many things, entertaining yet enlightening. She's a talk show host channeling her inner Fallon. Like Winston Wolfe, she's a fixer who gets things done with style. Practical, like Dr. Ruth. Stacey isn't afraid of the uncomfortable when searching for answers. She's your biggest fan and sees your potential before you do. Most of all, Stacey Heller is a synapse who can connect impulses and ideas about your business and yourself into possibility. To connect with Stacey, go to StaceyConnects.com. Stacey Connects. It's her superpower. Too many relationships are adversely affected by wounds from our past. Lack of connection, unhappiness, shame, and regret are just some of the fallouts we experience when we choose to avoid addressing those wounds. Greg Kuiper of Kuiper Counseling is a psychotherapist committed to reestablishing connection with self to create greater connection with others. His work with teens, individuals, couples, and those struggling with substance use. If you struggle with old wounds or unhealthy narratives, get to the root of them in yourself by contacting Greg Kuiper at KuiperCounseling.com. That's KuiperCounseling.com.
Broaden your horizons. You'll be amazed at all the topics we cover on Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Stacey Connects. My guest today is Shara Grasser. So we have been talking about the work that you do empowering kids and how important it is for them to have a safe and soft place to land. So you mentioned that you do one-on-one coaching with kids. So how do people, like, you know, find you? I don't mean, like, social media. I'll give you an opportunity to share all of that. I just mean, you know, how are people finding you, and how can we clone you so that there is one of you at every, you know, school, PTA meeting, resource center, you know, youth
right.
organization, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I know that's part of your coaching and facilitating programs for other coaches. So tell me
right.
a little bit more about that.
So, oh, God, what a dream. Like, it gives me goosebumps. I want more people out doing this work. So I love this question. So, you know, a lot of how people find me, honestly, Stacey, is word of mouth. So
okay.
find me specifically. However, you know, I do. I work for, I'll just drop the name, Seattle Life Coach Training. We're a virtual, real-time instructor-guided program. And it's a program that supports anyone around personal, professional, spiritual development simultaneously. You get to walk away with a certificate from the training. And you get to bring in your wisdom, your own experiences, and the program, and take it out into the world where you're most passionate, where you're purposeful. And so when I stepped into the program, you know, I was going to just coach anybody. I was so excited to get out and be with the people and just do the work. And I'll tell you, youth empowerment coaching found me.
Mm-hmm.
I just was really open to what the universe would bring me. I was crying. In every prayer I was putting out there was, I just need my people. I want to serve. Like, I have all this energy, love, compassion. I didn't know really what it looked like,
mm-hmm.
and then family started to call me. Shara, We need your help. We need you in our village. What can you do? And it wasn't like, well, let's work with mom and dad. It was like, let me sit with your kiddo.
Uh-huh.
Let me sit with your kiddo. And then I would reflect back on looking at my own, you know, past raising my kids. And when they were in high school and we had an open door, you know, the kids that were not fully accepted at home for whatever it was,
uh-huh.
you know, I had them come here. I was the one sitting on the deck, super curious, asking the questions. Tell me more. Teach me.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, my God, it's that ripple effect. Now I'm doing that for the world.
Yep. It's so important. And I was that way for three of the four kids. Our youngest, you know, he has other places that he goes, and that's totally fine. He wants to do things his own way and find his own people, and I love it when, you know, other moms and dads send me pictures of all of them hanging out together, and, you know, and that just makes me happy that they have a place to go, and they do hang out at our house and whatever, not to the degree that the other kids did. And, I mean, I had the opportunity to teach our son, who's now 23, and three or four of his friends how to put a condom on a banana. And the fact that the parents were like, great, you do it. I mean, that's something that I'm like, I'm going to ask permission for this because this is a big conversation. And the parents were like, great, you do it. That's fine. And luckily, it was somebody that, you know, talked to the kids about the whole experience. And for as many giggles as there were, you know, there was also, like, real information. Like, is this thing going to break? I'm like, go fill it up with water. See how much it can hold. You know, the silly questions that they have was still questions that they had, and they had an opportunity to have them answered honestly and real talk. And that meant a lot to them, and it meant a lot to the parents. And so not every parent is comfortable having the conversation. Not every kid has a parent to have the conversation.
Exactly.
You know, and so the fact that you're doing this work, and again, it's the whole truth thing. You know, just, you know, those same kids, as they got older and they started being curious about things, I'm like, here's the deal. I'll always be a soft place for you to land. However, you're not welcome to drink here, and you're not welcome to smoke pot or do drugs here. You know, basically, don't poop where you eat. You know, it's like, this is a place where you're welcome. And for a while, they didn't hang out as much. And then they would ultimately come back and, you know, it was like, okay, we appreciated that, you know, you're teaching us how to use a fork, how to eat an artichoke, you know, how to do these basic life skills that, you know, turns out some of this stuff is important.
Yep. And by setting those boundaries within your own home, you provided them a safe place. That's where they came back. Because they had to branch out and realize, ooh, it's not all safe out here, but I know where I can come back to.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
So it sounds like it's a lot of word of mouth, and the facilitating that you do and the speaking events that you do, is it about this very topic of empowering kids and the fact that, hey, parents, coaches, mentors, you know, teachers, all of you people out there, you know, you need to tread lightly with these kids.
Well, yes, and one of my biggest turning points was listening to one of my most favorite mentors. She's a child psychologist who doesn't like kids, Dr. Jody Carrington.
Oh, my God.
Out of Canada. But so she works with the adults, and she has a quote that says, if our big people are not okay, our little people don't stand a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, it hit me like a gut punch. And I thought, especially during our COVID times, who the heck is taking care of our big people?
Mm-hmm.
We throw our kids in school for up to 8 hours a day or daycares for sometimes 10. Who is really taking care and providing space for these big people that are holding our little people and everything that comes with holding our little people? So I will get in there with organizations and teams, and I just did a big one for Head Start, you know, with their team to kick off the school year. And it was really about, it was a communication training, but really about connection, Stacey, and how connecting looks. And for some of us, we have to do it differently because COVID took away a lot. And for some of us, it gave us a lot as well. But we're all in a place of doing things very differently, and connecting can look very differently. However, it goes back to that core human basic need that we all have. We're born with it, and it's to be seen.
Yep, absolutely.
And what does that look like, and what does that feel like, and how do we do it right?
I love it. Your a quote from your child psychiatrist reminds me of something that I learned from Greg Kuiper's show At the Root that I had mentioned earlier in the show.
Oh, I can't wait to look at that.
He says, when little people are overwhelmed with big feelings, it's the job of the big people around them to stay calm, not join the chaos.
Amen.
And, you know, and that's exactly what this is, because, you know, through no fault of their own, without any trauma occurring, just by virtue of having hormones and insecurities and being human, that is chaos. You know, these years are chaos for kids, and so they need somebody that will help them with the overwhelm and not join the chaos. And sometimes parents inadvertently do it, and so to have somebody like yourself, you know, not only working with the kids, but also being an advocate that others work with the kids and hear them is huge. I'm telling you, I'm gonna get you right back on this show. I do want to make sure that you have an opportunity, though, to share if you have a website or if you have social media, share with listeners how they can learn more about you and the work that you do.
Awesome. So, yes, you can find me on social media and my website. So my website, you can go at it, well, two ways. You can go at it my name, SharaGrasser.com, or MePowerment.com. And that's MePowerment.org. MePowerment.org. MePowerment is the name of my program, Stacey. It's Youth Empowerment from the Inside Out. And so that will take you to my website and share you with anybody a little bit about the work that I do in the world. I'm on Facebook. It's Shara Grasser, Youth Empowerment Coach. And then Instagram, I'm Coach Shara.
Love it. And Shara, for people that are listening, is spelled S-H-E-R-R-A, even though it's said Shara. You know, like the singer. That was the little trick that her mom and dad did, like a little variation. It's such an important conversation. You and I, as I said, it was, you know, love at first email exchange, because this is something that I am constantly collecting kids and, you know, asking them the questions. There's a young man, actually, that I know that has sat, he's a friend of a friend of a friend, and he sat at our kitchen counter. He played football for WSU. He's now actually playing, or not even playing, he's in the WWE. His name is Lucian Price. And, you know, this is a young man who sat at my counter and talked about dealing with anxiety as a young man, as, you know, a perceived, like, oh, he's an athlete, somebody who's part of the, somebody who's part of the BIPOC community. And, you know, sharing these kinds of things, that there's not that safe place to have the conversation. And so while everyone else is like, oh, man, he's blowing up and, you know, WWE, I'm like, how are you dealing with your anxiety? Are you good? And, you know, those are the questions that I want to make sure that he's being asked, so that he continues to have that safe place to land. Because no matter how old we get and how seemingly powerful we are still that child at our core.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wow. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and I just, you know, the work that you do as a youth empowerment coach is just, it is crazy valuable. And so I definitely encourage people to check out Shara's website. Again, you can go to SharaGrasser.com, or you can go to MePowerment.org and learn more about what she does. and thank you for being my guest.
Oh, Stacey, thank you for making this happen.
Absolutely. Of course, we're out of time.
I'm grateful.
Thank you to you. Thank you to Eric, as always. And I am going to get you back on the show sooner than later. So, listeners, look out for that. In the meantime, everyone, stay connected.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday morning to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Those heading up on 405 northbound out of Los Estes is heavy up to the Kennydale Hill. Slow to the I-90 and into Bellevue. Also, I-90 westbound is heavy from Issaquah and stretches back to Snoqualmie. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's Positive Talk Radio with your host, Kevin McDonald. And it's all about the Fix Yourself Power Zone. Stay tuned.
This report is sponsored by Whole Foods Market.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brad Siegel. Queen Elizabeth is now lying at rest in Scotland. King Charles III led a procession to St. Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh. The new monarch was joined by his siblings, while the Queen consort followed behind in a car. King Charles paying tribute to his late mother.
She sets an example of selfless duty, which, with God's help and your counsels, I am resolved faithfully.
The new monarch made his first address to Parliament today after receiving condolences from lawmakers following the death of Queen Elizabeth II. She'll lie in state in Scotland today before making her final journey to London. She'll then lie in state at Westminster Hall from 5 p.m. local time Wednesday until Monday morning, the day of her funeral. President Biden heads to Boston today to speak about his Cancer Moonshot Initiative. The program aims to cut the cancer death rate in half over the next 25 years. And provide support to caregivers and survivors. The president will speak at the JFK Presidential Library on the 60th anniversary of Kennedy's famous moonshot speech, which informed the public of a plan to get humans to the moon. Illegal immigrants who are caught crossing into Texas and bus to Chicago are living the sweet life. Some are being housed in a posh suburban hotel, which doesn't fit well with those living in Burr Ridge, southwest of downtown Chicago.
There's confusion as to who made the decision, whether it was the governor, who, you know, is a sanctuary state person. We got no heads up.
Mayor Gary Grasso says he was promised the asylum seekers would not be sent their way. In a statement, Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker's office claims the hotel had a prior relationship with Illinois to welcome refugees. The federal government is launching an investigation into the water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi. It comes as more than 140,000 customers served by the Jackson Water System remain under a boil water notice. Brad Siegel, NBC News Radio.
At Whole Foods Market, get organic air-chilled chicken breast for $7.99 per pound through September 13th, while supplies last. Plus, Prime members save an extra 10%. Shop now, in-store or online. Terms apply.
Let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and a few light rain showers, but then it'll turn to partly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures around 75, 76 degrees. Tonight, increasing clouds, sprinkled light rain showers yet again. Low temperatures back down to about 57. For Tuesday, more clouds and slight rain showers yet again. Highs around 67, 68. With mostly cloudy skies for Tuesday night, lows back down to about 56. Partly sunny skies for Wednesday and Thursday. Highs around 70.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by KM Radio Productions, LLC.
The following presentation is brought to you by KMmedia.pro. Please visit KMmedia.pro for more information. Now, stay right where you are as we present... Welcome to Positive Talk Radio, evolving ideas, one conversation at a time. Great guests, dynamic stories and interviews, plus new thoughts on a wide range of topics and concepts. I hope that you'll hang with me, Kevin McDonald, my friends, and of course, you. As together we work to understand why we are all here and what we can do to make our world a better place for all of us. To be happy, be kind, and live in peace. Together. Yep, that's Positive Talk Radio. And welcome to a Monday morning, everybody. I hope you are well. It is Monday. It is Seahawk Monday, as a matter of fact. We're going to have a great time in the city tonight because the Seahawks are going to be in town. And we've got somebody who's going to be coming here who doesn't live here anymore that is going to be in town, and that would be Mr. Wilson. And you know, I'm looking forward to a great afternoon. It should be a lot of fun. And Benny, you're wearing a Seahawk garb.
I am. So. I got to support my local team. I don't know how I'm going to either root for him or go against him. I mean, he's a good dude no matter what. He's just going where he wants rings and wants to live his Tom Brady life. He wants to play football for the rest of his life, you know, whatever.
Well, I tell you, did you know he just signed a new contract?
Oh, yeah, massive.
$250 million they're going to pay that guy.
Ah, well, it's not our pocketbook here. Someone else's pocketbook.
I think we should give it to teachers instead. By the way, we have a guest who has because this is live radio, sometimes we have a glitch in the system, and apparently we have that today. So we're going to have to rebook him, I think. But in what we're going to do instead is play an encore presentation of a previous Positive Talk Radio show. And you can always go to PositiveTalkRadio.net to find out more information about us. Benny, what are we going to play? I don't even know yet.
Let's bring up, we had Holly Dowling on.
She's awesome.
Back in April the 25th. So why don't we just launch into that one?
That would be awesome. She is a wonderful gal and a great coach, and that was a great show. So, yeah, with that, I want to thank Benny for being here. Go Seahawks, and have a great day, everybody. An amazing time today with an amazing guest, and I'll talk about her in just a moment. But first, I want to introduce Benny, who is the producer of the show. Benny, how are you?
I'm doing good there, cowpoke. You want to go with us?
You better keep your boots on, boy, because
typical madness on a Monday morning.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why I play the music that I do, because mm-hmm. at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Monday, you need to wake up and need to get ready for an exciting day. It's a brand new week, and I really, really hope, because the guest that we have is going to help you get rid of this. If you are one of those that on Sunday night, about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, you start going, tomorrow's Monday. I've got to go to work tomorrow. I don't want to do that. I hate my job. She's going to help us with that. We're going to talk all about that. But first, Benny, I got to ask you.
Okay.
And this may date you a little bit. This involves our guest. But do you remember a show called The Love Boat?
Yes. In fact, one of our other show hosts here, Rob Spears from Conscious Talk Radio, used to be a writer for The Love Boat for a couple of years.
Really? I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very familiar with that.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well, you know, there was a character on that show by the name of Julie.
Ah, cruise director Julie.
Cruise director Julie.
Uh-huh.
Well, our guest, when she was a wee itty-bitty one, was watching that show.
Uh-huh.
And she said, you know, that's not a bad job at all. I'd like to have that job. And then she was told, and this is part of her story that I think is just dynamic. She was then told, Holly, no, come on. You've got to have a lot of talent. You've got to know five languages. You've got to know all this stuff. And there's a 5-year waiting list to get a job like that. Just, you know, stay within your lane and do something that you can accomplish rather than do something that is never going to happen. As, you know, we all get people in our lives that tell us stuff like that because they don't want us to get hurt and by having too high expectations of ourselves. They want to kind of soften the blow. Mm-hmm. You know what? She became a cruise director for a cruise line, and because she would not take no for an answer. And so we're going to talk about all of that. The gal I'm going to talk to today, her name is Holly Dowling.
sorry. And you can go to hollydowling.com, and if you're not driving, you can look at her website and see all the things that she's done and what she's doing. She is, in fact, a highly sought-after, award-winning global keynote speaker and inspirational thought leader who's addressed hundreds of thousands of Fortune 500 executives around the world and impacted the hearts and minds of millions over 160 countries worldwide with her celebration of you. You know, I would have chosen that had Positive Talk not been available, but that would have been a great name for a podcast. And so she did the podcast for a long time. She's an expert in strengths-based leadership, which we're going to talk about, corporate women's empowerment, which we also need to talk about, and her unique approach has led managers to become strong leaders, individual contributors to achieve higher levels of performance, and companies to discover new opportunities for success. She's worked with a couple of companies you may have heard of before. I'm going to run through these, Benny, and you tell me if you've heard of any of these. Facebook, Wells Fargo, Cisco, Hilton, a little company from around these parts named Microsoft.
Oh, very familiar. Oh, yeah.
Disney, The Gap, Palo Alto Networks, and Mercedes-Benz. Wow.
I have one.
You have a Mercedes?
So I do. I'm very familiar with that one, too.
Yes. And Home Depot and also Google, which is an amazing partner. And she keeps getting invited back, which is how you know that a speaker is brilliant. Well, she's sitting over there, and so I should let her talk occasionally. So Holly, welcome to the show. How are you?
Kevin, I am so excited to be here, and I'm having a ball listening to you. And I'm like, I just got to say, Kevin, I cannot believe this moment right now. When you and Benny were talking, and I'm so excited to be with both of you, the whole love story, but like Love Boat, we got to talk about that because then I have got to know.
Okay.
And of course, Captain Stubing was my favorite because he was bald. So it worked out well.
Something in common.
Exactly.
Oh, that just made my day. Can I just tell you, listening to that music, and what you don't know is that I've got to meet Rob one of these days. If you can make the introduction, because the story that Kevin just alluded to, I'm sure we'll go deeper into it. It's a powerful part of my life,
right?
And it really impacted my life in ways that I never imagined what would manifest from then. So, Kevin, thank you. I'm excited to be with you.
Well, thank you very much. So let's talk about that a little bit because, you know, was I right in saying that there were people in your world that said, Holly, 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 you know, keep your feet on the ground and reach for the stars, but you can't do all of that. Did people tell you that?
Oh, yes. And to give you the depth and the richness to this story, I'm going to take you back since you and Benny were already talking about Love Boat. Go back to when I was in third grade, and I was a very shy, overweight little girl, and we were living in Reading, Pennsylvania. And so I didn't have many friends. I've always been borderline an introvert. But on Friday nights, I got so excited. It was the highlight of my week. Do you remember the lineup, gentlemen? It would go Love Boat, then Fantasy Island.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah. Hey, Buzz.
Yes, the Buzz. Be playing. And then the infamous show after that was The Night Stalker, which I probably shouldn't have been watching that, you know, in third grade. But
Darren McGavin was in that show.
Yes. And here's the crazy thing, and this is why I'm so glad that you have the show. I'm so glad it's Monday morning and we're getting to kick off the week and giving people a nugget of it's never too late to dream again, Kevin. And the reality is, in third grade, those butterflies were on my shoulder. I dreamed of...